The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Now, it's time for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here, we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week, we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Call in between 12:30 and 1 p.m. on Sundays and present your case to our experts. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now, our host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic welcomes you back. Today on our Radio Healthcare Clinic, we'll be tackling growths on the eye. And for each of you listening, if you are concerned or have a question about something on your eye, feel free to call. That's in Hillsborough County, 289-1860, and anywhere else, 877-969-8600. We are not practicing medicine, but perhaps I can try and give you some sense of the nature of what this may be so that you will be armed with that information and then decide how to proceed. We today will attempt to cover benign growths such as pinguecula, pterygia, and other degenerative growths on the eye, as well as some cancers such as squamous cell cancer and melanoma. And we will get to as much information or get through as much information as we can, but it's more important, I think, to have a dialogue and be able to explain and discuss things in a way that is easily understood. You can call in, ask your questions, at a comfortable, relaxed type of atmosphere, and it's rather than trying to race through and cover as much material as we can or as we will. Once again, this Radio Healthcare Clinic is brought to you by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic, community-based healthcare safety net, working to make you a lay expert on your personal medical problems, so you'll better partner with your existing physician, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and a reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. We also bring to you, that is, the foundation brings to you, the weekly Radio Healthcare Clinic and the Women's Healthcare Symposium, now the largest in the country with 1,800 participants, 21 physicians, and 5,000 hours of education on one day. And our fourth annual event was just over a month ago. And we are already planned for the fifth annual symposium, March 27th of 2010, back at the Convention Center. Other news regarding Focus on Females, we are now on Facebook. And for all you folks out there that are comfortable and have interface or interaction or experience with Facebook, which I don't have a lot of, but my staff does, we are now on Facebook. If you go on Facebook.com, you can search for Focus on Females and pull up our foundation page, our not-for-profit foundation page, and there are about 60 to 100 photographs, neat photographs from our recent symposium. And you can communicate and request future topics that are of interest to you and your family. And so we can, again, have a dialogue, and we can do everything under our power, humanly possible, to help you deal with the medical issues that are confronting you every day. We're also starting a MySpace page. And for all of you out there that know that, what that means, then again, we look forward to interacting with you. I'm first learning this stuff, but again, as I said before, the folks in my office are comfortable with that, and they're generating these pages, and we're going to reach out as best we can to interact and network with you there. So, moving on to today's clinic. When we think of growths on the eye, again, I think the best way to start this is to think about, again, the benign lesions, the benign abnormalities, and probably the most significant factor in developing benign lesions on the eye is the sun and the ultraviolet light. Together with dry eye, that is a powerful one-two punch in causing chronic low-grade inflammation and change in the nature of the tissue and the health of the tissue on the surface of the eye. Similar to your skin, exposed to sunlight and ultraviolet light over years and years, causes changes and breakdown of the skin. Well, the same thing happens on the surface of the eye. And so lesions such as a pinguecula, which is a local degenerative lesion, usually found at the 3 and 9 o'clock positions on the eye. That is to say, if you look at yourself in the mirror and imagine your eye being a clock face, then at the 3 and 9 o'clock positions, these are the areas in the sun-exposed part of the eye. These often develop little lesions. Sometimes they are yellow-tinged, and they may have some blood vessels in there or attracted to that area. Oftentimes, these are what's called pinguecula or degenerative, and these actually are seen at the junction of the white and the colored part of your eye, again, at 3 and 9 o'clock positions. These are, if it is a pinguecula that one has, the lesion is benign, but it can drive you crazy at times because these can get inflamed, and blood vessels can be drawn into this area. And I remember years ago, a patient who had come see me after seeing about half a dozen other eye doctors complaining of a throbbing pain in her eye. And she was placed on all sorts of analgesics, and they changed her diet and all these different things, put her on drops. Well, it turns out that the throbbing pain, which had not been previously recognized as to what was causing it, the throbbing pain was due to this pinguecula she had. And when the pinguecula would activate, that is, periodically would become inflamed, whether it be she might have been exposed to a environmental irritant, maybe a fragrance, or maybe something else she was allergic to, or maybe she was in a mall shopping and the effect of the mall air dried her eye out. Whatever it was the cause, when the eye when the pinguecula got irritated, it would increase the blood flow to that pinguecula. And that blood flow, of course, we know blood flow is pulsatile. That would create this throbbing sensation in her eye. And the most effective and definitive therapy was to simply remove it. And we removed it for her and resurfaced that area so it would not come back again. And she was thrilled, and we were happy for her. And indeed, she was thankful to get rid of that thing once and for all. Throbbing never came back. So that's a pinguecula. Now, a sister lesion to the pinguecula is a pterygium. And, of course, everyone hears the word pterygium, and many people don't realize it's actually spelled with a beginning with a P, P-T-E-R-Y-G-I-U-M, pterygium. So the P is silent. And the pterygium is very common, especially in the southern climates where we are exposed to a lot of ultraviolet light and dryness and dust. The pterygium is interesting because it differs from the pinguecula in that it actually grows onto the cornea. So it actually starts to grow onto it, cover the color part of the eye. And as it does that, it pulls on the cornea, generating astigmatism or a are a change in the shape of the cornea, so it can adversely affect your vision. And when these, as these continue to grow, they can actually restrict the ability of the eye to move. So you, people may ultimately wind up with poor vision and double vision. These lesions, these pinguecula, are most often found in the inner part of the eye, toward the nose. And again, they typically are seen at the originate at the intersection of the white and the colored part of the eye. Blood vessels are part of this lesion. It's, you can also think of it as a fibrovascular scar, or a scar containing blood vessels and fibrous tissue that again grows across the cornea, covering the colored part of the eye. It, as it does that, it causes changes in the cornea underneath it. So ultimately, when the tissue is removed, there can be some scarring underneath it, and the scarring is related to how long that pterygium has been there. The longer the pterygium has been there, the more scarring one has. Now, the other thing about these degenerative lesions, like the pterygium and the pinguiculum, is that because they are derived from exposure to ultraviolet light, they can also undergo a what's called a malignant transformation. In other words, they can become malignant or cancer. The cells have been activated by the ultraviolet light, and they can change into a precancer stage. Usually is the way this happens. The precancer stage is called dysplasia. And then with continued transformation, they can become a carcinoma, squamous cell carcinoma. And so these lesions should be looked at. When, if a person has these lesions, they should be checked out. If it's felt that they're not irritating to the patient, that is to say the patient is comfortable, they don't cause any recurrent inflammation or irritation, patient not bothered by it, doesn't affect your vision, that's fine. Don't need to necessarily take it to excise them or remove them and reconstruct. However, they should be evaluated to be assured that there is no changes in the cells of that lesion, that there's no early signs of dysplasia, or even worse, for that matter. And so that's the pinguiculum and the pterygium. Other degenerative lesions on the surface of the eye include a wrinkling of the conjunctiva. The conjunctiva is that mucous membrane that kind of wraps around the entire eye except over the cornea. And these wrinkles develop, and they also can become inflamed, and they can affect the tear flow, channeling the tears away from the cornea, leaving the eye dry, and leaving the eye irritated. So these are kind of the benign lesions that are most commonly seen in the eye. Now, going back to the pterygium, classic or the traditional approach to pterygium for many, many years was to simply excise it. And when these lesions are excised, 80% of them recur. So additional therapies have been developed, such as radiating the lesion. And with excision plus radiation, the recurrence rate decreases to 15%. But there are issues with radiation, and I don't endorse or advocate radiation at all, because by 10 years post-op, radiation is known to frequently develop, adversely affect the white of the eye, the sclera, and patients can actually develop a melting of the white of the eye. It can affect the ability of the eye to heal. These eyes can sometimes get infected. And so in my hands, I use a different approach where I actually take tissue from the healthy part of the eye and graft it into that area where the pterygium was. Pterygium's excised, and then a healthy tissue grafted into that area. And I've not had a recurrence in almost 20 years of practicing and taking care of these lesions. It is the safest approach in my experience. Okay, at this time, we're going to take a quick break and be right back with more on Growths of the Eye. We welcome your phone calls, 289-1860 here in Hillsborough County. 877-969-8600 everywhere else. We'll be back in a flash.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsborough, 813-289-1860. anywhere else. 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you.
Do your eyes have a foreign body sensation or are scratchy and sandy? Do they burn, sting, or itch, or are heavy and tired? Maybe your eyes are sensitive to light or your eyelids achy and sore. Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but you'll have to live with this and nothing can be done for you? Well, first, it's likely you suffer from dry eye. And second, don't stand for those answers anymore just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems. Go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you will be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with a doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain, fluctuating vision, and redness, plus begin targeted therapy right away. Haven't you waited long enough?
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back to Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We're tackling growths on the eye, and on the line is Ida. Ida, are you there? Can you hear me? Ida?
Yes, hi, oh. How are you?
Hi, Ida. Now, Ida's a patient of mine, many years ago. And Ida, you had a pterygium, is that correct?
Yes.
And could you explain to our listeners, I guess you came to me after you had a pterygium removed and it recurred, is that correct?
Yes, it did.
What, now, do you remember what year it was first removed?
Back in 1997.
Okay.
Back in 1997.
And it was removed?
1997.
And it was removed and what happened after that?
What happened, I had to use eye drops every day. My eye became really dry. It was horrible, the feeling. When I was blinking my eyes, it was horrible feeling. And my eyes was very, very red.
Okay.
And that's, I kept on going to the office, and the doctor was telling me it was going to get better and better, but it never. It was 8 months. It was really bad.
Now, you had radiation also to your eye after the pterygium was removed. Is that correct?
Yes, they sent me for radiation, yes, but nothing worked.
Okay, so what you're saying is you had the pterygium removed, and it was after it was removed, they sent you for radiation, and the eye just got redder and redder and more painful.
Yes. Yes, it was. Till I grabbed the book from my insurance company back then and looked for the right number, for the right name. Dr. Steve Maskin, to rescue me. when I went to your office, you told me you came to the right place, and I was crying and crying and crying.
Well, all right, so we went ahead and we removed the pterygium. This is a very important, actually, this is a very important case for our listeners to hear, because if the pterygium is not removed successfully, and if it regrows, it regrows with great exuberance, meaning the scar, meaning tremendous amounts of scar tissue and inflammation and redness, and it creates a very painful experience for the patient, as I get, as you will, as you will testify to, what you had to go through was very uncomfortable for you.
Yes, it was. And it was really bad.
And so at that point, and I have to tell you that I often see patients that have had pterygiums removed that unfortunately were not successfully removed, and they have recurred. And some, I would say, and one patient I remember through the last 20 years of taking, you know, care of these patients with these problems, the patient had this lesion removed over six times, between six and eight times, and it kept coming back, coming back, coming back. And finally, they came over to me. They heard, found out about me and what I do and my focus. And we took care of it successfully, and it never came back again. And the key, there are a few keys in managing this, but one is, of course, excision of not just the pterygium, but also the cells and the tissue that generate this exuberant reaction to the surgery. All that has to be cleaned out. And the muscle, the scar tissue actually grows in to the muscle. There's a muscle on the side of the eye there, on the inner part. That has to be cleaned out. And then what we do is we obtain a graft, meaning a healthy tissue, from above the eye. And this is the part of the eye that's been covered for your entire life by your upper eyelid. So we covered, in your case too, Ida, what I did was I took that tissue from up above your eye and freed it up, so it was. I took it off. So in other words, I took that tissue off the eye and then put it back down in that area where I removed the pterygium and where I removed all that inflammatory tissue and the scar tissue, and I secured it in place there. And despite having the radiation, despite having your pterygium come back, our efforts were successful, were they not?
Yes, I just followed the instructions after surgery with the drops that only time, and I have really good vision.
Yes,
and great vision.
Natalia, tell us about that. So it healed well for you?
Excuse me?
Your surgery, when I did the surgery for you, it healed well?
When you did the surgery, I have never bothered me for nothing. I got a really good, really great vision.
Okay, and that was many, many years ago.
Yes, I was 32 back then. It was 12 years ago. I'm 44.
All right, so that's great. So it's done well for over a decade. It's done well for over a decade, and now you feel your vision's actually improved since we did the surgery.
Oh, yes. Yes, everybody tells me I got extra vision because I can see every little detail.
And this is also very important because, again, this shows how the pterygium, that growth onto the cornea, affects the quality of your vision by pulling on the cornea, causing astigmatism, by diverting and adversely affecting the tear film that needs an underlying healthy cornea surface for proper vision. All these things took away from your vision before we were able to remove the pterygium definitively so that it would not come back. And now you've enjoyed excellent vision without this painful red inflamed mass on your eye for over a decade.
Right. My eye never red again. And, of course, I follow your instructions. Sunglasses for the rest of my life also.
Good. Good for
and
you.
And I protect my eye even for cooking. I wear my goggles for everything. I wear goggles to protect my eyes. Yes.
Excellent. Ida, nice job. I want to thank you so much for sharing your personal experience. The whole message of removing a pterygium is important in that not only should it be removed, but it also needs to be removed in the proper fashion. So we thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so much.
All right.
And I'm very happy about you.
Thank you, Ida. Bye-bye now. We'll be right back with more on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments. Yeah, the focus.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Health officials now say there are 226 confirmed cases of swine flu in this country. The latest CDC tally shows cases in 30 states. Officials cautiously optimistic, though, that this new flu is not as dangerous as first feared, but they say you should continue to take common sense precautions. Mexico's health secretary says the swine flu epidemic in his country apparently is waning, but he stresses the government, medical community, and citizens have to remain vigilant. Death toll there, 19. France is continuing to take aggressive action against Somali pirates. A French naval vessel intercepted 11 suspected pirates today. They were traveling in two assault vessels and a so-called mothership loaded with weapons. And Democratic and Republican senators say they hope President Barack Obama looks beyond the federal bench as he considers a replacement for retiring Supreme Court Justice David Souter. More details at SRNNews.com.
President Obama got a first 100 days gift from Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania.
Today I have the honor of standing next to the newest Democrat from the state of Pennsylvania.
How will that play out in the next 100 days?
I will not be an automatic 60th vote.
Does a filibuster-proof Senate translate to an all-out Democrat power grab?
The threat to the country presented by this defection.
Now, more than ever, we are your eyes and ears on Washington. Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Digital goddess Kim Komando here. This weekend, I'll give you the secrets to setting up a disposable phone number, one that you can use for online ads. And who are the latest pranksters online, setting up fake dating accounts and profiles. And of course, expert buying tips, secrets, and only the best callers. It's the Kim Komando Show, right here this weekend.
Kim Komando, Sunday afternoon at 2 on her new radio home in Tampa Bay. Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. Dr. Maskin manages these dry eye disorders using innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has been successfully managing difficult dry eye cases for over 20 years and is board-certified, fellowship-trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and American Academy of Ophthalmology. He's been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2009 and as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America. We hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please, visit drmaskin.com, and if you have not found relief for your painful red dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Thus far, we've talked about some typical and common benign growths on the surface of the eye, to the pinguiculum and the pterygium, and the issues regarding pinguiculum and pterygium, especially regarding the pterygium, if it's excised or how to treat it when necessary for it to be removed, and to avoid, in my view at least, avoid radiation, and in doing so, if properly handled and managed, then it will not recur. Now, we also talked about how these lesions can develop dysplasia or malignant transformation. And so the next topic is squamous cell carcinoma. Now, squamous cell carcinoma of the surface of the eye, again, which just like skin, is increased risk with sun exposure. This can happen in the setting of a pterygium or pinguiculum, but also it can happen without previous pterygium or pinguiculum. Risk factors include, turns out, male, gender, ultraviolet light, dry eye, history of HIV, smoking, and human papillomavirus, which is a virus which also can cause cervical dysplasia in women. The appearance of these lesions are typically described as gelatinous, but they can also be presenting with a fleshy nodule. And these lesions can be red or white. They can actually undergo a change on the surface of the lesion, which can turn it into a whitish color. It becomes what's called keratinized. So one way to think about that is that if you have an area on the eye where blood vessels seem to be angling toward that area, then you should be concerned about something which may be a cancer or early cancer, because these can be so-called feeder vessels for that lesion. So if you see something on your eye where vessels seem to be angling toward that, that is a concern. That may be something very, very serious. So again, whenever you have something that's suspicious, or even if it just doesn't seem right, if it's a change in the appearance of your eye, you'd be wise to have it evaluated and checked out. Now, it turns out that in the setting of, or in this, with squamous cell carcinoma of the eye surface, certain types of squamous cell carcinoma can invade the globe. I should say, squamous cell carcinoma can invade the globe. Certain types of squamous cell, one, for example, known as the mucoepidermoid type, can also metastasize. Generally speaking, squamous cell carcinoma of the eye does not tend to metastasize early unless it's this mucoepidermoid variety. But again, the squamous cell carcinomas can invade the globe. Now, treatment for this, of course, is excision with freezing and application of absolute alcohol. The exciting news here, if you catch it early, you can you have an excellent chance of eradicating it. And with the excision and cryo and freezing, about 10% can recur. But again, if you keep on top of it with monitoring, it should not pose a problem long term. Way back in the mid-90s, I am very interested, of course, in everything related to the surface of the eye. I also read dermatology literature because of the obvious correlation, or at least sometimes some correlation between the surface of the eye and surface of the skin. I identified a potential molecule called interferon from the dermatology literature that I decided to look and see if this molecule, which had been used in squamous cell carcinoma of the skin, can be used in the eye. It turns out the same molecule, interferon, we've used previously for other indications like herpes virus infections of the ocular surface. So long story short, I went ahead and we compounded it, and in a case of biopsy-proven precancer, squamous cell precancer, indeed the application of a topical drop of interferon, alpha-2b, melted that precancer away. And since I've used it on cases of squamous cell carcinoma of the surface of the eye with the same result, it's very exciting. And I reported my findings way back in the mid-90s. And since that time, centers, tertiary care centers, universities have done large studies and, again, confirming my experience and reporting their positive and successful results. So the exciting thing there is that if a patient does have a large extensive squamous cell carcinoma or precancer, this can be treated very likely with medication, and in so doing prevent widespread surgery with destruction of tissue and possible excision of stem cells from that person's eye. And this is very important because you can get rid of the cancer, but in so doing, if you've destroyed the stem cells of the eye, then the patient's can very likely go on to being to blindness as blood vessels grow into the cornea, as scarring develops on the cornea, and so these are important issues. Now, this leads us to another type of cancer and an experience we had with melanoma. And on the line is Jerry, who's a patient of mine, and his wife Kay, who was sent to me some years ago. And this is a case where Jerry developed melanoma and needed extensive surgery and wound up with stem cell deficiency just to try and get rid of the melanoma. Jerry and Kay, are you there with me?
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Maskin.
Hi, it's nice to have you with us today on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. And we've talked a little bit about I've introduced your case a little bit to the listeners. Would you like to share your memories of back in the early 90s when you were first diagnosed as having melanoma of the right eye?
Well, yeah, that, golly, I'm trying to think. I can't think of exactly when, doctor, but it had to be more than 10 years ago during an annual eye examination with a local doctor here in Kissimmee, Florida. He noticed a red spot on the conjunctiva, the cornea of the eye, and that concerned him. So he took a biopsy, and the biopsy indicated from three different laboratories. One indicated that it was precancerous, another indicated that it was non-cancerous, and then another indicated that they really didn't know the stature of the biopsy. So anyway, the doctor at Kissimmee suggested I go to the Florida Eye Clinic at the University of Southern Florida in Tampa, and there I saw Dr. Curtis Margot. And as soon as I walked in, he recognized the situation that I had on my right eye, and he had seen about three or four cases of this before. And so he did cryosurgery. He also performed chemotherapy.
Right. And let me kind of fill in a couple of blanks here. He removed, he excised the areas of concern. And one point, too, as Jerry had mentioned, there was an area of redness. Sometimes, now, of course, everyone thinks of melanoma as a pigmented area, brown or black. It doesn't necessarily have to present that way. And indeed, there are what's called amelanotic melanoma, where the melanoma is not pigmented, it's not colored. And and the redness that Jerry was referring to most likely was the feeder vessels, the nourishment that that melanoma developed for itself so it could grow. So moving ahead, so Jerry had the lesion excised and cryotherapy or freezing treatment to the area to try to kill any residual viable melanoma cells. And the chemotherapy Jerry was referring to was mitomycin C, which is a chemotherapeutic agent given as a topical treatment, again, to try and kill any residual melanoma cells. Okay, Jerry, go ahead.
Right. At that point, I kept on going back to the Florida Eye Clinic at USF, and the red spot or the coloring came back again. And in consultation with another eye doctor at USF, they thought it might be propitious on their part to remove the eye. However, Dr. Curtis Margot at USF suggested that I go see Dr. Maskin in Tampa because Dr. Maskin was a cornea specialist. And to me, that was my last avenue of hope. And thanks to you, Dr. Maskin, after a series of surgery on the right eye and the left eye, for that matter, I've been cancer-free now for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks. And Kay, I hear you there. And,
yeah, I'm here.
And it's nice to have you with us as well. Did you want to add anything before we go on? And I made a few. I'd like to make a few comments myself. But Kay, anything you'd like to share from your recollection?
I remember the what you call, I think, mitomycin.
Right.
I remember Dr. Margot saying that he feels that really worked well. It was. I know it was very painful. Mm-hmm. At the time that Jerry had that, he had a lot of pain from that. So I don't think he went the whole course, but he stopped it. But he felt that they had done enough that helped, and that really did do the trick. But the stem cells, Jerry didn't mention that, where mm-hmm. they took the stem cells to you can fill that in, Dr. Matthews,
right.
But the stem cell that they did.
Well, you know, alluded to the fact that when you're trying to get rid of a melanoma, and of course now we should actually step back and share with our listeners that a melanoma on the surface of the eye is the same bad actor as a melanoma of the skin, where in months it could take your life. And that's why Jerry alluded to the fact that at least one or maybe two of his doctors actually consider taking the eye out. Now, in an extensive melanoma of the eye, that is an appropriate consideration when the melanoma has run amok and the physicians feel that they're unable to control it. So that's a reasonable approach in some cases. When Jerry was sent to me for further evaluation. His physicians were concerned because they were not able to completely eradicate this melanoma, and so one or two were thinking about possibly taking the eye out, and they wanted, as Jerry mentioned, basically a one last opinion as far as what, if anything, could be done. Well, I first saw Jerry, I guess it was in December of 2003, and at that point in time, indeed, he had, by that time there was some pigment to his lesion, and the lesion occurred, was in the right eye at about the 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock area where the white of the eye met the colored part of the eye,
right.
And there were feeder vessels in there, and it was extensive, though. It also, there were also some suspicious pigmented cells on the cornea and the junction between the white and colored part of the eye from, I'd say, about 4 o'clock all the way wrapping around the eye. It wasn't just at, the say, the 10 to 12 o'clock area. So it was fairly extensive suspicious lesions. And, of course, the first thing is get rid of the cancer. We mentioned before in our discussion of squamous cell carcinoma, it's nice if there's some topical therapy that you can use where you don't have to worry about destroying the stem cells. But really, in this said situation, our prime focus is just to remove the melanoma if we could do so definitively, and then we could look at reconstructing the eye subsequent. So we did the surgery, excising all suspicious areas. I repeated some freezing, and I looked in your record before coming over here, and you had, Jerry, about eight times or so of freezing treatments to the eye. I know you remember those.
Yes, I do, Doctor. Yes, sir. That was done over at the USF, and there were eight injections of cryotic.
Right, freezing, which is basically freezing treatment.
Yes.
Trying to kill the viable cells, and again, which is another reasonable approach to trying to treat this thing. And then, in addition, that one setting, the one operation where we excised any suspicious lesions from your eye of melanoma, freezing, and I also used some absolute alcohol topically to get rid of what I thought were viable melanoma cells. You did quite well, actually, at that point.
Yes, I
sure did.
Thanks to you, Doctor.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Now, that was in December of 2003, and here we are in 2009. And I check you every 3 months, do I not?
That is correct. In fact, we were just there in your office Tuesday,
week,
I think,
yeah.
K, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And we check every 3 months because melanoma is something that could always reappear. So it's very important to carry on really throughout your life, every few months being checked. The 5-year recurrence of melanoma is 40%, okay?
Mm-hmm.
40%. And you are now, obviously, this December will be your 6th year completed.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to get to one other piece of your history. We're going to take a quick break, come right back, and talk about how after we got rid of the cancer, the melanoma, what we were left with, that is to say a stem cell deficiency of your eye, and how we went ahead and reconstructed the eye so that you have excellent vision today in that eye. Be right back with more.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you. Confused about dry eye? Not getting answers as to why your eyes are so red and painful and your blurry vision that gets a little better with a good blink? Now you can learn all about dry eye, the causes, treatments, and home remedies from the number one best-selling consumer book on dry eye problems, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome by Dr. Stephen Maskin. Published by Yale University Press, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome has been selected as a 2008 Best Book of the Year by the Association of American University Presses and a 2007 Best Consumer Health Book by Library Journal. Find answers for your dry eye. Go to your bookstore and pick up a copy of Reversing Dry Eye. You'll be glad you did.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
All right, welcome back to Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We're presently talking about melanoma of the conjunctiva and cornea with Jerry and Kay. Again, this is a very dangerous type of cancer, similar to the melanoma of skin that could take your life within months. Jerry is a patient of mine from Kissimmee, and he had had this diagnosed as a melanoma in his right eye diagnosed back in the early 90s, had multiple surgeries, freezing treatments to try and get rid of it, just kept coming back. At one point, he was told to have the eye removed for safekeeping because it is such an issue, a life and death issue. And he was sent to me as a last-ditch effort to try and save his eye. I saw him and first treated him in December of 03. We went ahead and operated, excising any suspicious lesions with freezing and use of topical absolute alcohol to get rid of any residual viable cells. Thus far, and I recently saw Jerry last week, there was no sign of any recurrence. So this, by the end of this year, it will have been 6 years since we treated him. And again, this lesion has a 5-year recurrence rate of 40%. So when we ended the last segment, we talked about now that we saved the eye, where do we go from here? Because of all the surgeries and the freezing treatments that Jerry's had to that right eye, the right eye developed stem cell deficiency with decreased in vision, blood vessels growing to the cornea, and so where do we go from here? And that's where we look toward his fellow eye, the left eye. And the left eye, fortunately, was a otherwise healthy eye. There was never any sign of any cancer there, completely healthy eye. And so I asked Jerry, well, I recommended to Jerry and Kay, his wife, who's also on the line with us, that we need to now focus on reconstruction of his right eye now that we've gotten rid of that melanoma. And the best way to do it is to take healthy stem cells from his left eye, the fellow eye, and graft them, transplant them into this eye that we've just saved from melanoma. What was your thinking, Jerry, about taking tissue from your healthy eye and using it to help restore the vision of the
I certainly thought that was a good alternative, Doctor, to going blind, but I was also concerned that any surgery to the left eye may decrease my vision in the left eye. And that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so my vision in the right eye stabilized. I've been able to see with all of these surgeries. I think I've had maybe 3 or 4 surgeries to the right eye, and one of them was from the left eye, the grafting of the stem cells from the left eye onto the right eye.
That's right.
So I'm very satisfied with the procedures that you performed on me.
Yes, and that's a typical concern that patients would have as I introduce this mode or this way of restoring stem cell population to the damaged eye, take from the fellow eye. The good news is a healthy fellow eye can well afford to donate some stem cells to the previously damaged eye. There's an abundance of stem cells, and so we took some stem cells from that left eye and grafted it onto the right eye to restore your healthy stem cell populations. The blood vessels went away. The surface of the eye smoothed out. And you did quite beautifully. Now, I might add that you did require a third surgery, and the third surgery was to optimize the tear flow on that right eye. It's important You had your stem cell surgery in July of 04. Later that same year, December of 04, we went ahead and you had some wrinkles on the surface of the eye. You can think of it as a degenerative type of wrinkles, which wasted your tears. And the tears, of course, carry those critical nutrients and growth factors to keep those new stem cells healthy. So we decided in December of 04 to go ahead and resurface the wrinkles in the right eye, smoothing it out, enabling the tears to optimally support those transplanted stem cells. And we used the amniotic membrane for that. The placenta,
and it worked.
And it worked. Mm-hmm. And it worked beautifully. I think since you had just a cataract surgery removed by your doctors back in Kissimmee, which did very well. And really, if someone were to look at you today in that eye, they'd say, okay, this eye sees beautifully. It's a comfortable eye. And they probably would never realize what you went through to be here today.
And doctor, excuse me for interrupting here, but every time we go to see you, every 3 months or so, and you look at the eyes, I am waiting with anxious breath to hear you say that word, beautiful. Already today, you've used it about two or three times in describing my eyes. So that's very encouraging for a patient.
Yeah. Also, I think you had mentioned at one point another option would have been to take stem cells from a family member.
Right.
If Jerry didn't want to take it from his left eye, a family member could have also donated the stem cells.
That's correct. That's right. The so-called living-related donor, which, of course, is never as good as the autograft or taking from your own fellow eye, but that is another option. And and Jerry, if I were sitting in your seat, I would have done exactly what you elected to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, for everyone else out there, we're running out of time, so let me just thank you right here, Jerry and Kay, for your participation today and sharing your experience to everyone else out there that need to understand and learn about managing and the course of managing a potential deadly disease like a melanoma of the surface of the eye. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Doctor, before we end, I want to thank you for your professional expertise. It's because of you that I still have my two eyes.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. So just as we're starting to close here, for you folks out there that notice some pigment in your eye and are wondering, okay, is this something that needs to be evaluated? Basically, the most common types of pigment in the eye are a nevus or a freckle, and then there's another condition called primary acquired melanosis, where you develop over time areas of pigmentation on the surface of your eye. Now, the nevus can transform into a melanoma, not frequently, but it can. So that should be followed up periodically, again, at least once a year. The primary acquired melanosis, there are two different forms. One is so-called without atypia, and one is with atypia. Without atypia does not transform into malignancy, but with atypia has 50% of those lesions become malignant. Bottom line, if you have pigment in your eye, make sure your eye doctor sees it, evaluates it, and watches it. This is Dr. Steve Maskin. Finishing this week's segment of Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic. Next week, a very exciting week with Dr. Bill Tatum. We're going to be focusing on pregnant moms with a history of epilepsy or seizures, how to manage that, how to manage epilepsy or seizures in the setting of being pregnant with Dr. Bill Tatum. Next Sunday, that's Mother's Day, perfect Mother's Day show, May 10th. Okay, everybody have a great week. This is Steve Maskin signing off, Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic, and we will see each and every one of you next Sunday. Have a great week. Bye-bye.